Congregation, you are a waiting people as you wait for your pastor to come. Since Pastor Pronk accepted the call, you are waiting for his arrival. It is a kind of Advent. Advent means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. In the coming of your pastor, this under-shepherd, there is expectation, anticipation. And now the Lord says in his words that we read together, and he says to all of us in this Advent season, as we have come to the close of this Advent season, this season of waiting, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. That was the promise of the Lord to his people in exile in the time of Ezekiel. It was the compassion that the Lord showed to a people in Babylonian captivity because of their sin. That promise of compassion was an Advent promise of the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the shepherd, my servant David. And that Advent promise of compassion, congregation, is amazing, considering the condition of the people, and not only the Judean exiled ones. A testify of amazing grace, considering the condition of the leaders of Judah, and not only them. But this Advent promise of the coming of the one and only ultimate shepherd, it shows us who Christ is and what he did and still does. Congregation, this chapter reminds us that the Lord shows that he does not forget his people, that he remembers them, and that for exiled ones because of their sin. And yes, we know from Scripture that there are people in captivity in Babylon who experience what is recorded in Psalm 137, that they sat by the rivers of Babylon and they cried as they remembered Zion, and they hung up their harps nearby and on the willow trees. The enemies told them to entertain them, and they said, sing us one of the songs about Zion. But they cannot sing anymore. Maybe you have sometimes those questions in your life. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he favorably be no more? Does his promise fail evermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Shut up his tender mercies? And maybe you cannot deny that the Lord has spoken to you through his word. Cannot deny his promises. But with all of that, you wonder by times of spiritual dryness, that your prayer is different than in times past. And you wonder, will the Lord never speak to me? Has he forgotten what mercy is? Has his compassion changed into anger? Maybe that is the inward cry, as you remember former times. And particularly when you may know by grace who Christ is experientially, personally, what he does. Maybe there's a longing that ultimately there comes a time that you will be delivered from sin and self forever. When sorrow and sighing shall flee away, then maybe tonight, maybe you need to be reminded of this Advent promise, of the ultimate pastor, Christ and Him alone, that one shepherd. And that brings us by the book of Ezekiel. A word of the Lord spoken through the prophet to his exiled people. A word of the Lord in the time of Advent season. But also a word for us tonight. This word, the Lord will shepherd and pastor his people. In whatever situation you have come tonight to church, whatever is going on in your heart and life, it is the Lord Himself, Christ, who will shepherd and pastor His people, and that He shows compassion despite His complaint over His people. By this promise of this one shepherd, I will set up one shepherd over them, and He shall feed them, He shall be their shepherd. And therefore, with the help of the Lord, I want to meditate with you on this Advent gospel message, as we find it particularly in Ezekiel, that speaks of one shepherd, Ezekiel 34. Two main points for tonight, briefly. In the first place, God's complaint, and in the second place, God's compassion. It's two main points, God's complaint and God's compassion. Congregation, the book of Ezekiel is the third of the major prophets in the Old Testament and one of the major prophetic books in the Old Testament following Isaiah and Jeremiah. And the book records seven visions of the prophet Ezekiel exiled in Babylon during a period of about 20-25 years. The prophet was a contemporary of Daniel, who was also in exile in Babylon, and of the prophet Jeremiah, who was at that time in Jerusalem. And Ezekiel, his name means a testimony, is a testimony of grace in this time of exile. Ezekiel means God will strengthen. The book has a threefold structure, as we find it in many prophetic books: oracles of woe against the prophet's own people, followed by pronouncements to Israel's neighbor, and then ending in prophecies of hope and salvation, which we see in the book of Ezekiel, the chapters 1 to 24, is prophecies against Judah and Jerusalem, the chapters 25 to 32, prophecies against the foreign nations, and then the chapters 33 to 48, a prophecy of hope and salvation. Thus, our text chapter is part of the last section of this prophetic book. This message of Advent is a message of hope, is a message of salvation for exiled people. Deportees. Because when this word speaks of hope and salvation, it also speaks that hope is needed, that sin is present, and that exile is real. And since we find in our first point, where the Lord complains about His people. As the chapter says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of Man, which could also mean a foreshadow of Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe to be the shepherds of Israel, that they feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? So it looks like that the complaint is here about the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Shepherds who think about themselves, they care about themselves, they enrich themselves. And in the meantime, the Lord has to say, should they not feed the flock? Should they not care about my people? Verse 4, a people that has diseases and sickness, they are not healed. What is broken is not bound up. What is driven away is not brought together. And the lost ones, that is not sought after. And the flock, they are scattered. They wander around, verse 5, because there is no shepherd. And the Lord continues with his complaint about the people, that they cannot save themselves, verse 10. That they are a scattered people. They are lost and sick, verse 16. They are worried and wounded. This is the complaint of the Lord here in Ezekiel 34. The condition of the people. Those shepherds have failed their responsibilities. And all what they care about was to advance and to enrich themselves and to make themselves great. Congregation, and threefold application of God's complaint here. Because the danger is, of course, that we apply this to the leadership of our country. And not just about the debates of the presidential election, and you think of politicians, they advance themselves, they enrich themselves, they make themselves great at the expense of the people. Or you apply it to the church leaders of today, the preachers and pastors of our time. Maybe you can point even to those shepherds that have failed their responsibility in caring for the flock entrusted to them. And you shake your head. What a shame. But the problem is, and the danger is with such applications is in the end that we excuse ourselves. It is them, the negligent leaders and pastors and preachers of our time. Those shepherds and those in exile in the book of Ezekiel in the past. The danger is this word is not about you and me. But what is the picture given here in this chapter? Which threefold applications can we see here? The first, the chapter pictures a society as a consumer's society. Verse 3, ye eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fat, but you feed not. It is me, me, me. The consumer's society in which we live today and in which we participate. Sometimes I'm filled with amazement. Even in this time, in the midst of this pandemic, it seems that the Christmas season continues as nothing happens. You eat, you dress well, and buy many, many, many gifts and more gifts. Even the mailing companies, such as the United Postal Service, are in holiday delivery crisis. Then you see that the time of Ezekiel is not that far from us, in which you and I live in a society, a consumer society. Second, the picture that is given in our chapter is a non-caring society. Verse 4, the diseased have not been strengthened. Neither have you healed that was sick. Neither have you bound up that was broken. Neither have you brought again that was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. Young people, to translate for the benefit of our time, there are people who are hurt, who are broken, who wander, who are lost, and we have not healed. And we have not bound up. And we have not brought back the wandering ones. And we do not seek that which is lost. That reminds us, of course, the picture that Christ gives us on the day of judgment. And that he will tell those on his left, they will hear, when I was hungry, you give me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you give me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you do not look after me. Congregation, how are we doing? God's complaint about his people. Remember also, on that day of judgment, when by grace you have done something for Christ's sake, even in this consumer society, in this non-caring society, Christ says, inasmuch you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Can the church still see in this neighborhood that this congregation is a testimony of his grace? That we serve a God who is so generous in his grace that we only can give to those around us. So the first application, it is a consumer society. The second application is, it is a non-caring society. But there is a third application of this chapter. Congregation, we have to speak about sin. Because that is the deepest and most profound reason when the Lord speaks to his people and to those chapters that are in exile. Those negligent shepherds, those people in Babylon, the reason why they are living in exile. Well, why we are living outside paradise as exiles is because of sin. Because that is why those shepherds and those people are in exile. Sin makes us who we really are by nature. Negligent in doing what the Lord asks of us in his word, his commandments, to love him and our neighbor with all our hearts and hand, head and hands. By falling short in caring for the weak and the wandering ones, the care of the hurt and the broken ones. Even now, when many have been impacted financially because of COVID-19, losing homes, and can make or struggle to make payments. That and much more is experienced as we are in exile in this broken world. Sin separates us from God. That is God's complaint. Profound complaint in this chapter. And then, congregation, I ask you, Who of us is then without sin? Are we not adapting so well to the consumer society, even in this corona crisis? Are we shepherds, pastoring people, caring people? Fathers in our midst, do you pastor to your family, to your children? Or is there no care? They can do what they want. Mothers, do you really care as Christ cares? When he was walking on earth and cared for those in need. Maybe even closer, brothers of the consistory, being called to this flock, have we strengthened where strength was needed? Have we bound up that what was broken? Have we brought again that which was driven away and sold that which was lost? That was God's complaint then and now. It's the picture of you and me. This sin-ridden black background. God's complaint. How does the Lord deal with that? Here in our text chapter. Congregation, the Lord shows compassion. Our second point. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. That is the gospel message of Advent. For a people living and participating in a consumer society, in a non-caring society, for a people that have learned by grace to be sinner. It is not about them, it is about me. Sinner before God. And despite all of that, then and now, despite who you are, your past or your present, here the Lord speaks and says to us, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. O congregation, this one shepherd will do everything completely and perfectly for a scattered and wandering lost people. Is not his name Jesus? And he shall save his people from their sin? Is he not the Son of Man that seeking and saving lost ones? The prophet attests of that shepherd who the Lord will set up, will appoint, will put in place. The original points to the Lord will arise. He will arise and provide one shepherd who will gather, who will care, who will lead the flock. As we have read of this one shepherd, what he does, verse 10, I will deliver them. Will deliver them of out all the places where they have been scattered and in cloudy and in dark day. Verse 11, I both third my sheep and seek them out. Do you hear? Verse 13 and onwards, I will bring them out of the people. I will feed them. I will feed them in a good pasture. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that was driven away. And I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that was sick. This one shepherd promised by the Lord. He shows compassion over his people, for a people in exile. He does not forget them. He will not cast them off forever. But he shows his mercy, his grace, his favor. I will. There is no expectation of us. Not from you, not from me. But the Lord says, I will. That is one-sided grace. This one and only shepherd, this good and gracious shepherd, is promised. Congregation, does that not speak of Christ? Who, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered. To whom else shall you then go? To whom else shall you then go? With your brokenness, with your hurt, wandering ones in our midst and outside the church. Here is Christ the promised one, who came and comes still in the lives of people, who seeks and saves the lost. For the Son of Man, the greater Ezekiel, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. It is he who heals and feeds them. And of his healing, Malachi also prophesied in that Advent promise, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. It's fulfilled in Matthew 4. Eh? And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And of his feeding, fulfilled in Mark 8, for example, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been without 3 days and have nothing to eat. And he took 7 loaves and gave thanks and break and gave it to his disciples to set before them. Which we sometimes commemorate also, that spiritual feeding of Christ, when he takes bread and gives thanks and breaks it, and says, do this in remembrance of me. And when it was the last time Lord's Supper in your midst, you heard it from the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper, that we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus. Then it is Christ who seeks, who gathers and saves lost ones. Also today, also tonight, those who wander through life, those who lost the way, he seeks. He brings back. He saves. Parents, never give up hope. Maybe for your wandering child or children. There is one. Christ the Lord. This great and gracious shepherd who much better seeks and will bring back and saves than we as parents ever can do. It is Christ who heals and feeds you. Also today, for those with pain and hurt in their life, for those who live with brokenness in their life, for those who have voids in their life and try to fill it with all kinds of things, but it is Christ who can and He will heal you, will and can feed you. Feed you through His word and cares for you in His providence. Even when maybe there is injustice in your life, it is Christ who judges. Does not verse 17 and 20 says, "Behold, I will judge. Judge so that His people will be rescued from their enemies." Verse 22 says, "And they shall no more be a prey, so that the poor and a needy people may know." Also in this Advent season, what the Lord says in this chapter, "Thus they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and they are my people, says the Lord God." Do you see that the Lord does not forget even you? That He is really and truly moved with compassion? That He exactly knows what is going on in your life, in your heart? And as a good and a gracious and a great shepherd of your soul, Christ attests of Himself what we read in John 10. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for His sheep." Christ has given His life for such a one as you are. Oh, how deep the Father's love for us. How fast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. Christ assures His people, "I know my sheep. They will hear my voice and they will follow Him, for they know His voice." Then it is Christ who guides, who provides and protects His sheep. Then it is Christ who confirms the promise of this one shepherd. There will be one shepherd and one fold. Not many flocks, not many shepherds, not many churches, not many pastors. But when the Lord in Ezekiel gives His Advent promise, and He says, "I will set up," that is a divine "I will." It will be one shepherd. It is one Christ and Him alone. But it also will be one flock. No divisions. No differences anymore. But one flock sought after and found by that one shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, cared for and brought home by that only shepherd Christ. Let us sing Psalm 54, verse 1. "My faithful shepherd is the Lord, supplying all my needs in pastures green. He makes me rest, by quiet waters leads." Psalter 54, stanza 1. Congregation, the coming of that one and ultimate shepherd Christ, he has come in the fullness of time, which we will commemorate later this week as the Lord gives. But he also comes tonight through his word, and you have heard who he is, this gracious shepherd filled with compassion. And then I ask you, have you heard the shepherd's voice? Or are we too busy listening to other voices? Also in this time of Advent, and the voices of advertisements and shopping and other seasonal happenings, or the voices of the media and the internet. Have you heard the shepherd's voice? The Lord speaks to his sheep, and sheep are helpless. They are wandering. They are the vulnerable ones. But the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. You know that? Second, is Christ your shepherd? A shepherd who leads, who guides, does he lead you? Oh, young people, do you still want to be in the driver's seat? You want to lead yourself? There is a story about a village church organist in Germany, and one day while he was practicing a piece by the composer Mendelssohn, a stranger walked in and sat down and listened to him. And when he had finished playing, the stranger asked whether he could play the organ. But the organist refused, saying that he could not entrust his organ in the hands of a stranger. But after some persuasion, the stranger gently but firmly began to play. And he played the same music on the same instrument, but this time it was that the church was filled with heavenly choir. And amazed, the organist asked at the end of the performance what his name was. And he replied, Mendelssohn. We can never do things better than the one who made us and by grace redeemed us. This shepherd, Christ and him alone, knows best what is best for you and me. This shepherd, Christ himself, as we have heard, goes before them, and the sheep will follow them. Jonathan Edwards calls this, in a sermon of 1735 on this text, the sweet harmony of Christ. And he says, their following is spoken of not as forced, but a ready and cheerful following of him. Hereby it is denoted their submission to him. When he calls, they come and obey. When he goes and leads, they willingly submit and follow. Hereby also they signify their trust in him. They follow him, trusting him as their good shepherd, that he will lead them. that they may go safely, and lead them that they may find pasture. They do not dare to follow strangers. They don't trust them. They don't know where they will lead them. But when you have that acquaintance with Christ and do so know him to be a good and faithful shepherd, they are not afraid to go wherever he leads them. And therefore, follow him. Trust him. He goes before you. He shall lead you. And he shall feed you. That was the advent promise of the Lord. And it is the advent promise while you are waiting for an under-shepherd. This promise of this faithful and one and only shepherd Christ, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. That in this Advent season, when we have come to the close of this Advent season, that you have this acquaintance, as Advent says, this acquaintance and communion with Christ, and so to know him, that he is a good and faithful shepherd. Oh, look back tonight in your life. Can you not testify by grace? He is a good and gracious and faithful shepherd, despite who I am. Oh, to be encouraged, to be strengthened by this his unfailing promise, so that you are not afraid wherever he leads you. And then to experience at the close of this Advent season 2020, as our chapter ends, and we end as well, "Thus they shall know," says the Lord, "that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they are my people, says the Lord God, and you are my flock, the flock of my pastor. You are men, but I am your God, says the Lord God." Amen. Let us pray. Lord, will bless thy word to each and every heart here present tonight and those that listen. As we have heard, I complain to thy people, but also that great, great, great compassion of that shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has laid down his life, and that for sinners. Lord, will take us by heart and hand this week, and will lead us as a shepherd, pastor to our souls, and that we may follow thee and serve thee all the days of our life. So, Lord, be with us in this new week, that we may meditate upon thy word, that it may direct our lives to thee, the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive then our sins also of today and this night in speaking and in listening, but bless thine own work and word, and that for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, the closing psalter is 221, 221, the stanzas 1 and 3. 221, stanzas 1 and 3. congregation go home in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.